Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
So listen, if you're here today and your mom is still around, I encourage you to make sure you honor her, because there's many of us in here today that our moms have gone on to be with Jesus. And so, you know, Mother's Day represents a lot of different emotions for a lot of people. And I always like to make sure that you know that you're thought of wherever you are on Mother's Day. Mother's Day can be a very, very painful day for people. I remember there was a gentleman here, and if I named his name, you would all know who he is, but I won't. But he was here. He passed away, but years ago. And Mother's Day was a very difficult day for him because his mother had abandoned him as a child. And he was adopted, and he had a beautiful adoptive family, but Mother's Day was just a very, very painful day, and God just really did a work on the inside of him. And so you never know who's dealing with things. And so it's important that on days that it's such a celebration for some, it can be a difficult day for others for many different reasons. And so I just want you to know that we think about you, that we pray for you. And I read this yesterday, and I thought it was so good. And I just wanted to acknowledge and read this, because I just thought it was beautiful. It says, "To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience and we pray for you. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those of you who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we pray with anticipation for your future. To those who are step-parents, we walk with you on this complex path. And to those of you who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be seen yet, we're in anticipation with you as well. To those of you who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you at the same time. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst, and we want you to know we remember you and acknowledge you today." Isn't that beautiful? I just thought that was so beautiful, I wanted to share it with you. And so today, as you're celebrating Mother's Day, I just encourage you, there's a lot of us, myself included, I know Pastor Angel, our mothers died around the same time, and you know, that's a difficult time, and maybe your mom has passed recently, and I just want to encourage you, I know I speak for Pastor Angel as well, if your mom is still alive, honor her. She may be annoying, honor her anyway. She may get on your nerves, honor her anyway. She may want you to obey her even though you're an adult. Honor her anyway. Amen. She may never, you know, sometimes my mom, it's like no matter how much time you spent with her, she would say, "You never come over. It was never enough." Come over anyway. Amen. Because you're going to miss her. You're going to miss her, because it's tough when your mom goes on to heaven. But thank God that we get to see them again. And all of our moms are up in heaven right now. And I'm sure they're very proud of all of us looking down and watching over us. And they celebrate. And so I just want you to know, I know today's a tough day for you. Today's a tough day for me. That's why I quit doing Mother's Day messages about, 9 years ago? 8, 9 years ago? I was like, I'm done with that. I've done enough. I'm done with that. Maybe one day we'll have somebody come in and do them. So we're going to, but we do honor the moms, and I'm excited. You know, I just want to tell you, honor your mom. If your mom's still alive, honor her. And honor the mom that God has placed in your life. Because I'll tell you what, I read another thing, and I shared it with some people. So we have a couple of people in our church who lost their mom this year, so it's still fresh with them. And I reminded them, whenever you know, someone leaves your life, God always brings somebody else into your life. And, you know, I'm so thankful that when my mom passed, that I had people in my life that came and kind of took that role. No matter how old you are, you still you look for that mom in your life, no matter how old you are. So I'm thankful. I have my Aunt Rhonda. She mothers me in many ways. I have Sandy Bridgman, who mothers me in many ways. I have Dolores Richardson, who has mothered me for years. She doesn't mother me now, but for years she mothered me. I think she secretly wanted to marry my dad, but you know, but you know, so honor whoever God has brought into your life, and don't be closed off to it. You know, sometimes because we miss someone, we're closed off to who God's bringing in to make things better in our life. And so just look for the person that God's going to bring in, because he always does. And we appreciate moms. Amen. Amen. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Take your mom out for lunch today. And I'm thankful. I'm getting spoiled today. It's already happening. And I'm very thankful for that. So look around and say, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Happy Mother's Day. All right. Here we go. We're going to finish up today our Four Cups series. We're going to finish it up. It's been a five-part series. And you say, five parts, four cups. How'd that work out? Well, it worked out because the very first day when we first started, all we talked about were the promises of God. God has made promises to you. Aren't you glad about that? God's made promises, and God keeps his promise. Listen, if people have let you down, that's people. You always got to remind yourself, God's not a people. Amen. God's not a people. God is God. And he does not disappoint. He does not let us down. He does not go back on his promises. God honors his promises. And so we started the very first day we started this series talking about just the promises of God, that God is faithful to them. And those promises belong to us. Amen. They belong to us. And today I'm so excited because all the cups lead to this fourth cup. They all lead to the fourth cup, and we're going to end today with taking communion. it's kind of like a solidify. Man, I'm drinking from the four cups. Amen? And so here we go. Start over in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. Get your phone out. Take some notes. This is a note taker. I don't know about for you, but when I'm in services, when I'm listening to messages, I'm always taking notes because I don't want it to just be a moment. I want it to impact my life. Amen. I don't want to be like, oh man, that was good. That was great. And then forget it. And then not remember what God spoke to me. When God speaks to you, you need to hear what it is. You need to remember what it is. And that's why taking notes is a good thing. You know, technology, sometimes everybody's like real down on technology, but I'll tell you what. Technology can be a benefit and a blessing to you as long as it has boundaries. Everything in life has to have boundaries, including technology. But, you know, technology can be a good thing. And so it says here, therefore say to the Israelites, and this is the four I wills of God, from the very, very first Passover that ever happened, Jewish people have been saying these four I wills in their Passover dinner. They still do it today. And unfortunately for the Jews, most Jews, they're not coming into Jesus. They're not getting the full cup. But thank God we know who the Passover lamb is. Amen. His name is Jesus. And so God's speaking to the Israelites and he says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. Now, when we first read that, it sounds like the same thing. Like, we're getting freed here, now we're getting freed here. No, it's two different things. One, God's taking them out. It's that instantaneous Salvation. How many know your salvation is instant? When you believe, the Bible says, when I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, an instantaneous change takes place in my life. I am born again. Amen. I've been brought out of darkness and I've been brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's what Colossians tells me. But then he says, I'm going to free you from being slaves to them. Sometimes we can be free, but still have slave mentality. We can be free, but we can still be living like we're slaves. And so God said, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt, and then I'm going to get Egypt out of you. All right? And so that's cups 1 and 2. And then he says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. We talked about that last week, that redeem. It means to restore. It means to put you back the way that you were designed. It means that God's going to take you and reset you. All the pain, all the hurt, all that, he's going to redeem us so that we can walk in the plan of God for our life. Isn't that great news? We can walk in it. And he says he's going to do it with an outstretched arm. You know, the Bible says that God's going to reach down and lift you up. And his arm is outstretched. That means it doesn't matter how low you are, his arm is long enough. And when it says with mighty acts of judgment, sometimes we read that, we think, oh man, that's for me. No, that judgment is for anyone or anything that stands against the children of God. God's going to take care of you. God takes care of his own. Isn't that good news? God watches over you. God protects you. God defends you. Because you are his, and that's what that means. And he says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And this is the fourth cup today we're going to talk about. And notice that all of them are, I will redeem you. I will bring you. And it's all about you. But boy, that fourth cup, it changes. And he says, I will take you as my own people. We're going to learn today that cup number 4 is all about being the people. It's all about being the people together. And so he says, then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And so today what we're going to talk about is that fourth cup. And all of us have what we would call an unlived life. An unlived life. There is more to life than we're living. More to life than we're living. And God's ultimate plan for all of us is to live a life of fulfillment. God wants you to live life to the full. But here's the thing we have to remember, we have to know. The enemy has a plan for you, and so does God. And we've got to choose whose plan are we going to follow. And we see both plans in John 10:10. And I have it up here out of the Living Bible. In John 10:10, it says, the thief, who's the thief? That's the enemy. It's the enemy. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and to destroy. So that's the enemy's plan. The enemy's plan for your life, and a lot of people live that plan, is to steal from you, to try to kill you, and try to destroy everything that you love and the dreams that are on the inside of you. But this is Jesus talking, and he says, my purpose is to give you life in all its fullness. And so we see here the enemy has a plan and God has a plan. And God's plan is for us to live life in all its fullness. The ultimate goal of the four cups of promise is to give you, is to get you to live your unlived life. That's the plan. To pursue the projects you've been dreaming about. To finish the degree, to learn how to play that instrument, to address the addiction and habits that are holding you back, to commit to your local church, to get involved, to write that book. I mean, it's so awesome that we've had a couple people in our church now who have written books. I mean, how awesome. And then we have, you know, Josh and Manuel who are putting songs out. And I mean, it's exciting to see them. What are they doing? They're living that fullness. They're living that fullness, you know, and to drink the four cups and live life to the full. You know, whenever you think about the term a bucket list, you know, how many have a bucket list? Anybody in here? I encourage you, write down a bucket list. Write down a bucket list. One of my greatest memories, you know, you guys know I love my dad. My dad is the best. And I remember years ago, we were sitting at the what's it, the space, it's called the Space Needle, right, in Seattle, isn't that what it's called? We were sitting there, and we were up in the restaurant at the top, you know, and it turns and everything, and we're sitting there, and I'm sitting across from my dad, we're at this fancy restaurant, and we've been on this awesome trip, we went to Alaska, and now we're in Seattle, we're sitting at the top of this thing, and we're looking out over this beautiful, I mean, if you've never been there, it's just absolutely beautiful, and my dad looks at me, and he says, because, you know, I had put this whole trip together. I had gotten an inheritance, a little bit of money from my brother Mark. And what Scott and I decided to do with it was we were going to take our whole family on an epic trip. Because we felt like that's what Mark would want us to do. And we wanted to have just something that would be a memory that we would all remember forever. And so we took 11 people, and we all went on an epic trip. And it was best money I ever spent. Never, ever regretted it, not one second. And so I'm sitting across from my dad, and my dad looks at me. Now, my dad has just been such an amazing dad. I love my dad so much. And he looked at me. I'll never, ever forget this. And he said, I have always wanted to come here. I have always wanted to come here. This is so great. And I remember just having such a sense of, wow, you know? I was more excited for him than for myself because it was a bucket list. And now I'm even more excited because, you know, my dad is 85 and we talked to him about, you know, my dad, we're like, Dad, we want you to spend all your money while you're here on this earth. We don't want a penny of it. We want you to enjoy it. You know, we want you to buy stuff and we want you to travel and we want you to enjoy life because you've been such an amazing dad. That's what we want for you. And so now we're getting ready to do another one of my dad's bucket lists in June. My dad has always wanted to ride his motorcycle. Yes, my father still rides his motorcycle. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you knew my dad, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's okay. Because he doesn't look 85. He doesn't act 85. He still rides his motorcycle. We did just talk him into buying a trike. Which, if you don't know what that is, it has three wheels. So we're all really happy about that. So anyway, my dad has always wanted to ride the Pacific Coast Highway, and he's always wanted to go to Yosemite, and he's always wanted to see the Redwoods. And so this June, for Father's Day, we are all, my brother, Scott, my sister-in-law, my two nephews, we're all going on an epic motorcycle ride. And so we're going to ride over 2,000 miles so my dad can see all those amazing things that he wants to see. Because that's his bucket list. That's his bucket list. And so I encourage you, have a bucket list. Because I don't want, here I am going, man, Dad, I want you to see these things. I don't want my dad to have an unlived life. But you know what? My dad doesn't want me to live an unlived life either. And so we need to really ask ourselves, what is our bucket list? What are some things that we need to look at and say, you know, what are things that I want to pursue? You know, for me personally, you know, I have things on my ministry bucket list. I have relationship things on my bucket list. I have, you know, places I want to see and things I want to do in my bucket list. But, you know, I can't wait to be going down the Pacific Coast Highway and hearing my dad, because, you know, we have intercoms, hearing my dad say, man, I always wanted to see this. I can't wait for that. I can't wait to be looking at giant redwood trees and hearing my dad saying, I've always wanted to see this, and being there when he does it. And I think about the love and just how excited I am about that. And I thought, man, how excited must God be when his kids do the same thing? How excited must God be when his children live the life that Jesus came for us to have? He said, I've come that you can have life. And one translation says life to the fullest. Life to the fullest. But the reason why we don't live life to the fullest so often is because we are stuck in cup number two. 87% of people stay stuck in cup number two. And here's how you know if you're stuck is that every Sunday you're coming in here and you're just repenting for whatever happened the week before. You're just in a constant state of repenting. God doesn't want you to live like that. God wants you to deliver you from that. Amen. That's what that cup number two is for. You say, well, what do I need? You need discipleship. You need to grow in your relationship with God. That's what cup number two is all about. It's that cup of deliverance. Deliverance comes with discipleship. Deliverance comes when we know who we are in Christ. Deliverance comes when we're not so susceptible to the temptations of the world. That's how deliverance comes. Deliverance comes when I strengthen my spirit man and make it stronger than my flesh and my soul. That's how deliverance comes. But if you don't do that part, you're always going to be stuck there and you're going to live an unlived life. And you're going to get to heaven. Man, I don't want to get to heaven and God be like, girl, you could have done a whole bunch more. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get there and him be like, man, you had so many more gifts and so much more talent. And, you know, you could have. I don't want to live a you could have life. How about you? I don't want that. And so we got to make sure, man, that first cup, that is instant. You got born again. It's instant. Man, drink from that second cup. Get discipled. Get discipled. That's what growing in the body is all about, is discipleship. People, discipleship is constant. Yes. We're constantly growing and becoming more like Jesus. But if you're coming in here constantly beat up every week, week after week, man, you gotta grow through that. You gotta grow out of that in a lot of ways. Because that's not the life. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to live a life filled with guilt and condemnation. That is not the purpose. The purpose is fulfillment. Amen? And so we got to move past. And so we got that cup number one. It's instant. Cup number two, that discipleship. Man, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful I had people in my life that would call me out. Man, I am thankful that as a young believer, I have people that would call me out and tell me, get it together. I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'm thankful that people loved me enough to correct me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. And held me accountable and pushed me. I'm thankful. Man, if somebody calls you out, be thankful. It's because they love you. Because they love you. But man, we're in a time where nobody wants to be. They're like, oh, don't judge me. Don't judge me. You without any sin. Man, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's about helping people grow and so we're not caught up. I don't want to constantly be watching for people with stones. You know what I mean? I don't want to do that. I want to grow past that. Not that we're perfect. We never get to a place of perfection, but we get to that place where it's not a constant thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not constantly repent, repent, repent. Man, there comes a time to start living, right? Let's start living for Jesus. And when we get to that cup number three, it's where we're getting redeemed, where we're starting to walk in that plan. And then cup number four is where we've got the confidence and the boldness in Christ when we're stepping out and doing the things that are on the inside of us to do. Man, isn't that exciting? Yeah. That's what God wants for us. Most people never get to the fourth cup. They never live that life of fulfillment. And I'll tell you, I struggle with it too. So this is everybody, you know? I mean, there's things God's putting in my heart to do, and I haven't done them yet. You think like, man, why aren't you doing this? Because we get caught up in other stuff. Caught up in other stuff. But God's got a plan. Jesus said, I've come that you might live life and life to the fullness. That's what God wants for you. You know, God doesn't, he's not into get by life. He's into fulfilled life. But why do we not do it? Here's some reasons why. Number one, we let the past cripple us. Ooh, listen to that rain. Hallelujah. Don't worry, we got umbrellas. Amen. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. My dad used to. He still says it. You're not going to melt. You're not that sweet. Yes. And then my brother would always tell me, you know who melted in Wizard of Oz? All right, back to the questions. Where, focus right here. We let our past cripple us so many times, and we've all heard this, but you know, sometimes we can hear things, we can forget how powerful it really is. That we're looking through the rearview mirror and not the windshield. You know, I mean, we've all heard that. Everybody's heard that. But I mean, it's really powerful if you think about it. If we're constantly looking about what we've done and the mistakes we've made and things we could have done better. And, you know, it's like, it's done. I can't change it. I can't change it. And so we can't let our past cripple us. You know, that's why so many times people get stuck in cup number two is they're still struggling with yesterday. Listen, yesterday happened. You know, as bad as it is, it happened. And you know what? You know what the great news is? You know, I was talking to somebody and I said, man, let's just believe God for mercy and for favor. And they looked at me and they said, how can I do that when I totally blew it and I made all these mistakes? And I looked at them and I said, that's exactly what mercy is for. That's the definition of mercy. Mercy is getting what I need, not what I deserve. Amen? And so no matter how bad you've blown it, and even if it's all your fault, God still loves you. Amen? God still has a plan for you. Amen? Those gifts are still for God's purpose. Isn't that good? The Bible says it says that the gifts and calling of God are, they don't get revoked. They don't get rescinded. They have eternal warranties, the Message Bible says. Isn't that good news? An eternal warranty. Would you like to have that on your car? An eternal warranty? Wouldn't that be great? But you have it on the call of God on your life. And so I looked at the person and I was just thinking to myself, you've been in church a long time. That's what mercy's for. And so, and you know, and you go, oh, but that's why love covers. Love covers. God wants to cover you with his love. He wants to cover you with his mercy. God is good. So don't let the past cripple you. The Bible says in Psalms 38, 4 and 6, it says this. This is where so many people live. It says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and brought low. And man, that's how so many people live, because of things that we have done, things that we have said, stuff that's happened, whatever it is, man, if you said the wrong thing, repent and move on. Yeah. Amen? Do what you can to make the amends, but repent and move on. You blew it. You know, I was just meeting with the staff on Friday night and I had to tell them, you know what? I really blew it in this area. I made a mistake in this area. I should have done this and I didn't. And I had to tell them, I said, I repent for it, but I give myself a fresh start and I'm going to shake it off and I'm going to move forward. And that's what we have to do. We got to shake. We got to learn from Taylor Swift, right? Shake it off. You got to shake it off and you got to move forward. You can't let your past cripple you. Let's not be the person that my guilt has overwhelmed me. Man, that's what the blood of Jesus is for. And you know what? Listen to me. So often believers, especially in a word of faith movement, because your feelings didn't change instantly and you kept feeling it, you feel like God didn't work it. Listen, it's a process. It's a process. Feelings follow decisions. Amen. Feelings follow decisions. You've got to make a decision. I am forgiven. You got to make a decision. I am forgiven. Yes. God has given me a fresh start. I am washed clean. God has a plan for my life. And as you walk that out, that guilt and that condemnation has to go. It has to go. And you got to fill yourself. This is discipleship. This is how you get out of that cup number two. You got to fill yourself with who God is and who God says you are. Amen? Not who somebody says you are, who God says you are. We can't let our past cripple us. The second reasons why we don't live that fulfilled life is we let culture define us. Man, this is a big deal right now. This is a cup number three problem. And you know, last week we learned 87% of people, they never drink from cup number three. And that's discovering God's plan, God's design, God's purpose. Listen, your design will determine your destiny. God designed you in a certain way and it will determine your destiny. God made you. Amen. And he's got a purpose for you. There's gifts and callings in there and you need to find out what they are. But we've let substitutes, counterfeits, Satan's plan define us. Culture will try to change your identity. Man, don't you see that in the world we live in? Where culture, that's the enemy. Culture means the world's, how things are done, the world's way of doing things. And the enemy is trying to change people's identity. He's probably saying, I know you're this, but here's what you feel like, so that's what you are. Listen, I'm not what I feel like. I am who God said I am. I am who I was born to be. Amen? Feelings don't make decisions unless you let them. And if you let your feelings make your decisions will change all the time because feelings change all the time. But culture will try to change your identity. Do you know this is an interesting thing, and it's in another book that I'm reading, and once I finish the book, I really want to meditate on it. I'm probably going to do a series on it because it's an amazing book, and it's called The Daniel Dilemma. And it's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all this. It's talking about in culture then and what happened. One thing that's very interesting thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how many know this story? They were thrown into the fire because they wouldn't succumb to the culture, to the peer pressure around them, and because they wouldn't deny God. And they said, whether we burn or whether we live, we honor God, right? But here's the thing. Did you know that the king, those are not their real names. The king changed their names to the society. He changed their name, and I'm not going to tell you what their names were because it would ruin the whole message I want to do. But you have to look it up yourself. He changed their names to try to change their identities, to change their identity, but it didn't work. The enemy will always try to change your identity. He'll always try to tell you you're the thief from your past. You're the loser. You're the drug addict. You're the kid who didn't do good in school. You know, you're this, you're that. I mean, my mind just doesn't work like that anymore, so I can't even think of things. But, you know, he just tries to tell you all that stuff. And he's trying to put that identity on you. Maybe it was your parent when you were a kid said, you're never going to amount to anything. You're stupid. You're this. That's why I never use the word stupid. Man, parents, don't use that word. That is a horrible word to use, and it does not belong in a believer's home. It does not belong there because it's a label. It doesn't belong there. But, you know, there's kids say, oh, my mom, my dad said I would never do this, I'd never do that, that I'm stupid, that I can't learn anything, that I can't get anything right. And be careful with your words. You're putting labels on your kid. But if you're not careful, you'll carry that identity. The culture is trying to put an identity on you. But we've got to remain in the identity that God has put on us. I'm a child of God. I'm a royal priesthood. Yes. Amen. I'm in the family of God himself. I'm an heir to the throne. Amen. You know, there's all this business about the royal family and the wedding. I'm in the real royal family. Amen. How about you? I'm in the real royal family. Don't let culture try to change your identity. You know, the enemy's trying to change the way relationships work. He's trying to put his stamp on things. He's trying to do that. And we've got to stand up and say, no, no, this is what God says. This is what God says. You want to live the fulfilled life God has for you? You got to do it God's way. That's the only way too. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10 is such a great verse. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I wouldn't. And so we've got to hold on to that identity. And, you know, one of the things we do here at BBC, because we are passionate. Listen, we don't come here for our health, right? We don't come here because it's, you know, I love serving God and I love doing it, but I do it for your life to be changed. I'm not here to just make you laugh, even though people are like, oh, you're so funny. You know, I'm not here for that. You know, I'm not here to be funny. If I'm funny, great. That helps you hear the word. But that's not what it's about. I'm here for you to drink the cups and live the life God has for you to live. That's why I'm here. Yeah. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have our Thrive Track. We don't do that just so we can like sit in a little room and teach you stuff. We do that so you can learn who you are in Christ. So you can learn what it means to be part of the body. So you can learn that discipleship part. So you can find out what the giftings on the inside of you are. And then the last part, part number four of our Thrive Track, is we get you plugged into a team. So you can exercise and use what God has get put on the inside of you. But that's what it's for. We gotta find out. Don't let culture define you. Let God define you. Amen. Find out who you are in Christ. Man, if I were to ask some of you guys, man, who are you in Christ? There's a whole bunch of in him. In him. How many know the in hims? Man, you're just like, you know him. You've read the book. If you don't, I've got in him books right down here. I'll give them to you. It's who I am. I am in Christ. That's who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who I am. That's who I am. Culture can't define me. God has already defined me. But we got to make sure we're not letting culture tell us, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't. Oh, no, you got a record. You can't do that. You can't do that. You got a record. You've been in jail. Listen, there's a lot of people at our church who've been in jail. All right. But you know what? They're also some of the best ministers we have. Don't let where you've been tell you where you're going. Amen. Don't let where you've been tell you where you're going. That's culture. God says, I'll pull you out of that. God says, I've got a fresh start. Quit looking in the rear view. Look in the windshield. Yeah. Amen? Look in the windshield. And the third reason why we're not getting in that fulfilled life, these things, these are enemies of that fulfilled life God has for us, is we try to do it by ourselves. Okay. Try to do it alone. God designed his plan for you to be fulfilled with the help of others. True fulfillment never comes alone. God never intended any of us to be an island. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. We've all heard that before. And that's why God describes the church in group terms. You ever notice that? The church is always a group. We are the family of God. We're the fellowship of believers. We're the body of Christ. We're part of the flock. Because here's the thing, if in cup number three, listen to me, I want you to hear this. In cup number three, you find out your giftings. You find out, man, I'm the best hand. I mean, God's going to use me as a hand for the body of Christ, and I'm going to be the best hand, and I'm going to do amazing things from God. But here's the thing, the hand needs the arm. What good is a hand without an arm? What good is an arm without a shoulder? What good is a shoulder without a chest? What good is a chest without a torso? Right? You can find out, man, I'm great, man. God has put this gift in me, and I'm gonna do great things and all this. But listen, you gotta be connected to the body. That's why in the four I wills, the last one, he changes to we. Because cup number four is all about the body. All about the body. Ecclesiastes 4:8 says this. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. So even though you can have everything in one area, man, it's not going to matter if you're all alone. It's not going to matter at all. How many stories have we heard of people who have just amazing wealth, but because they're disconnected from their families, it means nothing. It means nothing. This is why we need the promise of the fourth cup. The fourth cup is called the cup of fulfillment. It's called the cup of praise. In Exodus 6:7, it says, I will take you as my own people. Now we're God's people. He said, and I will be your God. The cup of praise, the Jewish people call the last cup. Remember, there's four cups. And they call the last cup Hallel. We've probably heard that word. Hallelujah comes from there. And it means to celebrate. And you know, they say that this is the fourth cup of wine, so now they're really ready to celebrate, right? They've already had three. It's the fourth cup. It's time to celebrate. But Hallel means more than celebrate. It reflects the condition of our soul. And it's living life to the full. It's living at large. It's a feeling on the inside that says, you know what? I'm really living. And that's what God wants. And so many people, I mean, there's an epidemic in America where we have so many resources. I mean, most people, not all, don't get me wrong, but most people have a lot more than other places in the world. Do you know the number one problem with white teenagers that are growing up in upper middle class, the number one problem that upper middle class white teenagers have, you know what the number one problem they have is? Depression, leading to suicide. Number one problem they have, depression leading to suicide. Yet they, in the natural, have everything that they need. They're wealthy, they have opportunities, but yet they deal with this. What's going on? Is we need fulfillment from God. From God. You know, there's a study, and if you've ever been to college, if you've ever taken any like classes about people, sociology, psychology, anything, even family development, they teach this. There's a thing called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Anybody ever heard of it? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it was done in 1943, and it was the study of what people need, what motivates people. He stated that people were seeking fulfillment. And from most basic needs to doing all that they were capable of, but people are looking for the meaning of life. That's what they're looking for. And so the seven needs, there's seven needs, they all these studies and everything, it started with four, and then as more sociologists and people that got big degrees, this isn't a Christian thing, this is just a thing that these people are studying. They said physical needs are air, food, water, shelter, warmth, sleep, we all need that. We all need to feel safe, a protection from the elements. That's why you lock your door, because you want to feel safe. We need order. We need limits, stability. That's a need that we have. It's security. The next one was love. We need to belong. Family, affection, relationship. The next one is esteem needs. These are just what everybody needs. And the Bible, it's funny that these sociologists are finding out what the Bible already says, right? Isn't that how it always is? And so esteem, we need self-esteem. We need that feeling of accomplishment, to be complimented. That's why we all, you know, most all people like it when somebody says, oh, you know, your hair looks good or you did a good job. We all like that. It's part of a need that we have. a new need on the list is a cognitive need. We need to know stuff, and that's why shows like How It's Made and Animal Planet and all that, we like to know things. Everybody likes to know things, and so that's a need. Self-actualization is a need. Aesthetic needs. We like things to look nice. But here's a new need, and they call it the greatest need they have discovered. This is what sociologists have discovered. You guys ready? The greatest need in a person's life, the ultimate life lived, is when we look beyond our needs and help others. This isn't the Bible. They're just confirming what the Bible already says. That the greatest need that we have, what fulfills people, is knowing you've done something greater than yourself. Amen? And when we think about that, the ultimate thing about the fourth cup is living beyond yourself, is living with that extraordinary help, that extraordinary call that God's put on your life. Ultimate fulfillment comes when you're part of a family, making a difference because God is on your side. That's where it comes from. Everybody tries to get it from all these different places, and now we have sociologists telling us, listen, you need to belong to a group. Oh, really? You need to know who you are, for real. You need to make a difference, seriously. It's like God already told us that 3,500 years ago, God said. But now sociologists are like, listen, if you want to have a fulfilled life, this is how you do it. Let's get it. Amen. As we take communion together, I just want you to make a commitment.